Have you noticed for sale signs outside of homes for weeks on end? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss whether the housing market has slowed and the implications for buyers and sellers are Sibsey Klein real estate agent Roxanne Qualls. Thanks so much for being here, Roxanne.
It's a pleasure.
And Axios reporter Sammy Sparber. Thanks to you also, Sammy. We're grateful you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Roxanne, generally, how does the greater Cincinnati housing market compare to national trends right now?
Well, and Sammy is going to talk about the national trends, but the Cincinnati housing market is beginning to, quote unquote, normalize. However, in terms of what people hear about in terms of, you know, significant price reductions, all those types of things, we're not seeing a collapse in prices at all. It's more just we have a very sustainable and resilient market. It is becoming a little different for sellers. They need to be a little more careful in terms of their pricing and a little more patient because there's an increase in days on market. But for buyers, it's not a buyer's market, but they have a lot more flexibility when it comes to making offers and negotiating contingencies.
Mm-hmm. What has that increase in days on market looked like? I mean, is it a big increase? I think when you're trying to sell your home, any increase feels like a big increase. But
well, the average increase in the days on market is basically for the areas that are in the multiple listing service for Cincinnati, it's basically year over year, October over October, increase of 25%, 25 days on market. Now, in some places, it's going to be significantly less, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And then in other places, it'll be significantly more. Because the one thing that people need to remember is, what are the three most important things about real estate?
Location. That's right. Well, Sammy, I know you've reported on refuge markets. Can you tell us about that trend that you're seeing nationwide?
Yeah, I think the term the refuge markets comes from Realtor.com's. They put out their annual ranking of the top markets for 2026. And in looking at that ranking, their researchers wrote the top housing markets of 2026 share a clear common thread, housing affordability, which is bringing demand to those so-called refuge markets. And what I think is interesting to note is looking at that ranking, Northeastern and Midwestern metros are dominating that list. And that's a big shift from a year ago when the top 10 were exclusively in the South and West. Looking at their list, I see Hartford, Connecticut, Rochester, New York, and Worcester, Massachusetts taking the lead.
Interesting. And Sammy, in terms of the general national trends that you're seeing, are you also seeing an increase in days on market like we're seeing here locally, or what's the big national picture there?
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, you know, the housing market, it slows. It's seasonal, so in the colder months, it is slower. Nationally, homes are changing hands at record low rates. In October, I just reached out to Redfin. Some 70% of homes sat on the market for at least 60 days, which is long enough to go stale, as they put it. And I think that's why, you know, nationally, we've seen a trend of many sellers starting to pull their listings off the market rather than cut prices.
Interesting. Roxanne, Sammy was just talking about refuge markets. Is Cincinnati a refuge market? When people are looking from outside, you know, other parts of the country, from outside of our metro region, do they see this as, hey, an affordable place where I can still get a home?
Well, I think that the term affordability is a relative term.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, Cincinnati has always been an affordable market, but we have seen price appreciation when it comes to homes. And so if you're coming from a very high-priced, accelerated market from the East Coast or the West Coast and from some of the areas, even on the interior, that post-COVID really shot up and are now really declining, you would consider this to be an area that, yes, is very surprisingly affordable. But for those folks who have grown up here and are used to it, there's probably some challenges to that notion that things are affordable at this stage.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I've been reading that, you know, Cincinnati has this reputation for being affordable, but sale prices for homes in the region are near record highs, right?
Yes.
I mean, what
yes.
is that? What impact does that have on first-time home buyers, for example?
Well, on first-time home buyers, a lot of them are sitting out of the market, and a lot of them are waiting for interest rate decreases. And, you know, next year there's an anticipation that there will be some interest rate decline. We don't know how much it was going to be. There's a lot of estimates. But for those buyers who are in the market who, one, are prepared, they know what their financial situation is, they understand what they're doing, they have to be persistent. Persistence gets rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Sammy, you know, you were talking about the refuge markets, just different parts of the country that are where folks are gravitating. But what are some of the factors making it hard for people who want to move but feel kind of stuck?
So the big one, obviously, high housing costs, keeping many people in place. Many homeowners feel locked into cheaper mortgages. A new report from Realtor.com found that moving today would require a 73% jump in the median monthly payment. So that's a big hurdle for a lot of people. Of course, you know, some are still moving, whether that's for lower prices, seeking some of these refuge markets, if it's for a job, if it's for climate resilience, or to be closer to family.
A 73% jump. So for the average person who moves, that's how much their monthly housing costs are going to jump?
Yes, that was looking, I see the key takeaway. Today's typical mortgage holder pays roughly $1,300 in principal and interest a month. To buy in today's market, it would require nearly $1,000 more a month or a 73.2% increase in mortgage payments.
Wow. That's a big jump for most of us.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things that accounts for is why probably the median age of buyers has increased to 59 years of age, and also why first-time home buyers on a national level are just 21% of the market.
Wow. Are you seeing, I don't know if local statistics get that granular, Roxanne, but are you seeing the first-time homebuyers locally getting older too, or is that, I don't know if those stats are even collected locally.
I'm not aware that those types of stats, I think that individual brokerages might kind of do an estimation of that. But I think from observation and anecdotes, what you hear is basically you have a lot of first-time home buyers, the ones who are going to finance. They have saved and saved and saved, and so have their money together and are prepared. You also have young people, the ones who are younger and first-time home buyers. Some of them are being supported by their parents in a way that perhaps didn't occur in the past. And then you also have this great transfer of wealth that has occurred, and you have first-time home buyers who do come in and are able to purchase and oftentimes can purchase with cash for that. But generally speaking, you are finding an older buyer and one that has bought before being in the market.
Yeah, someone who's experienced maybe.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about what's going on with the housing market and what that means for buyers and sellers. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sammy, Roxanne was just talking about how really across the country, first-time home buyers are getting older. What can you talk about some of the factors nationwide that you're seeing behind that kind of delayed home ownership?
Yes, I wrote about the same data that we were just discussing. The latest survey by the National Association of Realtors found that the typical first-time home buyer in the U.S. is now 40, and that's the oldest on record. In many places, home prices are just too high, mortgages are too expensive. Add to that high insurance costs, property taxes, HOA fees, that kind of thing. Consider that existing homeowners don't want to move, and there's also a shortage of affordable homes for sale. And I also want to note, you know, rent is still expensive. It's still eating up their paycheck for a lot of people. There's inflation, your groceries, everything's more expensive. You might be paying off a student loan. And then, you know, to peel it back a step further, People are getting married later in life. They're having kids later in life. Some people are forgoing those traditional milestones altogether, and some renters also just aren't in a hurry to buy homes. Maybe they like the amenities of their downtown luxury apartment or living in a walkable area, or they don't want to deal with the maintenance of owning a home.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things I think a lot, some first-time homeowners don't consider that, yes, you own the home, but then you own all the problems too, right, Roxanne?
Well, and you have the extra expenses as a result of that. It's not just the mortgage. You have, obviously, taxes, and you have the expenses of the monthly and annual maintenance due on a house. And so it's an expensive proposition for most people. And depending upon, you know, what your income level is and also what your savings rate is and what your investment rate is. 'Cause one of the interesting things about it is that, you know, repeat buyers typically make larger down payments and 30% purchase in cash.
Wow. Is that a higher number than you've seen in the past?
Yes, it is a higher number. And some of it has to do with just the appreciation in home values. But also who's actually in the market buying. These are not younger first-time buyers. These are folks who probably have sold before, and they take out the equity, and they are using the equity for purchase, plus also money from investments to purchase.
You mentioned a transfer in wealth, or could these older buyers perhaps even inherited some money from a parent who's passed away or relatives who have passed away? Are you seeing that factor into all this?
Not so much with those folks, even though that's probably is a factor for some people, but rather for younger people. Hmm. That's the transfer of wealth that's surprising many people in the market.
Interesting. Well, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we hear what happens when a teen gets arrested in Hamilton County. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the state of the housing market and what it means for buyers and sellers. My guests are Sibsy Klein real estate agent Roxanne Qualls and Axios reporter Sammy Sparber. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. And we did get an email from Steve in Oakley. Steve writes, Homorama in Oakley had homes for over $1 million and approaching $2 million driven by tax abatements. Is this approach to incentivizing homeownership good for the long term? There seems to be plenty of affordable housing, but found outside the city limits. I feel like this taps into your hat as a real estate agent and also your hat as a former mayor of Cincinnati, Roxanne. What do you think about that? What is this point Steve is raising about tax abatements and the prices of some of these homes in the city limits?
Well, a couple of things. One is that because of the cost of developing in what is already a developed area, such as the city of Cincinnati, is going to be just at the beginning point much more expensive versus if you go and find fresh land.
Mm-hmm. Just acres and acres.
Out in the suburbs. Yeah. And whether that's in Northern Kentucky or out in Claremont County or Butler County or increasingly in Adams and, you know, County. So that's a factor. And one of the things that the tax abatement policy does, and it was restructured last year, is that it encourages people who we want to actually live in the city, who can pay taxes in the city and support the city services. It encourages them to build and live in more expensive homes. And it's a balance. Because the tax abatement policy was changed so that it recognized where there was a need to provide even more incentives in those areas where there was an affordability need.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Well, you talked about how it's different to develop, to build in a dense place like the city of Cincinnati versus some of the other counties around us. Let's talk about counties north of the river. What do the housing markets look like there? There's Hamilton County, Butler, Claremont, Warren counties. What are you seeing there?
Well, what you're seeing is that in Hamilton County, that it has the most active inventory, and it has the lowest median sold price among all the counties. The median sold price is about $292,000. Butler County is the second most affordable county, and it has an increase in inventory, but its price growth remains modest. Claremont County, however, has very strong demand. And Warren County, while it has had increased days on market, has basically much higher price points.
Huh. What do you think accounts for that?
Well, it's just basically the type of the development, the type of communities, the types of amenities that different communities offer. And clearly, one of the things that is happening, particularly out in the suburban counties, is a recognition that people do want a sense of place. And so a lot of communities are investing in creating places in those areas because that's a competitive factor for them.
Hmm. So more kind of internal developments, sidewalks and parks and things like that.
And amenities. And then, clearly with remote work increasing, that becomes even more of an option for people. And so you really see this kind of lifestyle segmentation occurring among people.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, you were talking, Roxanne, about how there's added time on market. It's not a buyer's market. It's still a seller's market, but sellers have to realize the reality of the seller's market and how it's normalizing. I saw a report that a growing number of sellers are taking their homes off the market if they don't like the offers they're getting. I wonder if you're seeing that locally and why you think maybe these homes aren't selling as fast as the sellers want them to sell. Is there a message that the sellers just aren't getting?
Well, I think that what many agents will say is that they provide options to their sellers and they provide information to them. And one of the things that is really important in a changing market, and we are normalizing, which means changes, and yes, it's still a seller's market, not a buyer's market, but it's moving towards more balance. And so that means that, number one, sellers, this is not 2 years ago. This is not the height of the just frothy market that existed. You also have a much narrower base of buyers in terms of numbers of buyers. And you have folks who are in the market to buy who are persistent and experienced, and they also are being much more careful. Mm-hmm. And so sellers need to price competitively. They need to make a decision whether it's more important to have a price or to have a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to just be patient themselves and realize they're going to spend more time on the market, usually.
Sammy, what are you seeing nationally? Do you get a sense from any of the data that you look at that some of these sellers maybe are expecting a little too much, asking too much, thinking that it is still 2 years ago when they would get a pile of offers above asking price and with no home inspections and, some of the things that were kind of par for the course a couple years ago?
Yeah, as far as speaking with actual sellers, that is something I have been dying to do. So if you are a seller and you're listening, please let's talk. And I would love to feature you in a story. But as far as the data and analysis that's out there, I saw a new report from Redfin that some 85,000 U.S. sellers took their homes off the market in September, up 28% from a year before and the highest level for September in 8 years. Researchers there saying more sellers are giving up because their homes have been sitting on the market for a long time. time and they don't want to or they can't afford to settle on accepting a lower price. And breaking down, you know, there's a few different reasons why we're seeing more sellers pull their homes off the market. There's that surge in stale listings that we talked about. There's slower demand as buyers get sidelined by high mortgage rates, high home prices, widespread economic uncertainty. Some sellers don't want to take a loss. I recently covered a Zillow report that found over half of U.S. homes lost value in the past year. That's the most since 2012, but the vast majority of homeowners, quote, still have plenty to feel good about, according to Zillow. And then one trend to watch that I'm personally interested in is people who are pulling their homes off the market. There's also the option to become a landlord. Some people would rather pull it off and then rent it out and sell it for less money than they have in mind.
Roxanne, you know, Sammy just said some words that I think are scary for a lot of homeowners, and that's losing value. I mean, for a lot of people, their home is the biggest investment they make, and they have a lot of their personal wealth and anticipated maybe generational wealth tied up in a home. Are we seeing homes lose value locally? I don't know if that's something you've kept track of or would know.
Well, I think a couple things. One is generally, again, back to that number that we started out with, which is that Cincinnati, the metropolitan region, has shown an appreciation year over year, October over October, of 3.9% versus the national 2.2%. So generally, houses appreciate and so are not losing value. I think what is the experience, though, of some people is that when they made the purchase during those frothy years, and they went over asking, they did not do inspections, they also had, and some of your listeners may not know this, appraisal gap coverage written into it, whereas if it didn't appraise, they would also then match that appraisal gap. And then those people have to turn around and sell very quickly for whatever reason. Then perhaps they find themselves in a difficult situation. And that's been something that a number of realtors have observed. But if you can hang on, appreciation will catch up. Mm-hmm. But you have to, if you're going to do that, you have to be sure that you're going to be staying in the place for a while.
Right. Well, and that seems like good advice no matter what you pay for your home, because it takes you a little while to build up any equity and get past those initial closing cost hurdles and all that money that it takes to buy a home, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So you can't just turn around.
Yeah. You need to spend a little time there.
Yeah. And it's usually a little more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And life happens. Some people have to make those decisions. But
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, you were talking about sellers taking their homes off the market. What about home buyers backing out of deals? Are you seeing an increase in that across the U.S.? And if so, what are some of the factors at play there?
Yeah, recently we have seen more home buying contracts nationwide being canceled. According to a recent Redfin report, 15% of pending home sales fell out of contract in September. And they say that home buyers are backing out of deals at a fairly high rate as their negotiating power grows and economic uncertainty mounts. Really, it comes down to in a market where home prices are high and mortgages are expensive and maybe competition is lower than it has been, buyers want the home that they buy to be perfect. And we just talked about how some sellers maybe aren't willing to budge on prices or on repairs. They note that inspection and repair issues are a top reason why sales have been falling through. And I also, you know, I want to point out that this isn't uniform across the country. There are some pretty substantial geographic differences. Deals have increasingly collapsed across the Sun Belt, which is where I am in Austin. And those are areas where homes aren't as affordable as they once were. You bring in rising insurance costs, HOA fees, climate risks that have been discouraging shoppers. And other people might just walk away because they're pretty confident they can find something else, especially in states like Texas or Florida with more newly built housing.
Hmm. So, Roxanne, what's your outlook for 2026? You mentioned things are kind of normalizing. Home appraisals or values are still going up more than the national average. When you think about the greater Cincinnati market in the coming year? What's your outlook?
Well, I think that the outlook for the Sensei market is in line with the national outlook, which is that there's going to be an increase, as there already has been, an increase in inventory, that people who are interested in buying are going to come off the sidelines because of lower interest rates and also just life in general. They have to make some decisions with what they're going to do. You're also going to find sellers having to come off the sidelines and make decisions because life happens. And also you'll have some sellers who, you know, they stayed in place because they couldn't imagine, given that they were paying, a 3% interest rate on a mortgage and they would have to take out an 8% or a 7%. You know, as that comes down, they're going to actually think that through a little more clearly and find that perhaps they should sell because they do need to make some changes. And that would be easier than making that addition to the house. So I think that it's going to be a much more positive year next year. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of activity, just like you are on a national level.
Okay. Well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Sibsy Klein, real estate agent, Roxanne Qualls, and Axios reporter, Sammy Sparber. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, a look inside juvenile detention in Hamilton County. This is Cincinnati Edition.